Hi, this is Emily.
And this is Amy, and in this episode, AADL talks to Janice Bobrin. Janice is the former Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner, formerly titled the County Drain Commissioner. She was elected for six terms from 1989 to 2012. She's also a member of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters, the Huron River Watershed Council, Don Farm, and the former manager of water quality programs for the Southeast Michigan Council of Governments. Welcome, Janice. Thank you so much for coming.
Oh, I'm delighted to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
We first would like to chat with you a little bit about what brought you to Ann Arbor. Did you grow up in Ann Arbor? Did you come to Ann Arbor, and why?
Well, I came to Ann Arbor in 1969 for college, and I stayed here for undergrad, grad school, moved back to the Detroit area, which is where I'm from, briefly, and missed Ann Arbor too much. And so I've lived here full-time since 1979.
What did you study when you were here?
History undergrad, and in the course of that work, I began to study history of the American city and was fascinated. So my graduate degree was in urban planning here at U of M.
Were you interested in working on Ann Arbor issues at that point as a student, or did that come later?
I worked, didn't really do that much, took some literature door-to-door for Bob Harris, who was the mayor a long time ago. So that was my first kind of putting my toes in the water of politics. In the course of my studies, I did get involved with the city. I was taking a class called Economic Problems of the Inner City, and we did smaller group projects, and mine was really focused on comprehensive code enforcement, bringing buildings up to code. There was a federal program that was providing funding for that, and it was used pretty heavily in Burns Park, the Old West Side, and then landlords took advantage of that money to bring student housing up to code. So that would probably be when I really began to look a little bit at the workings and the politics and the residential areas of the city.
How did you go from that to then what was your next step? What was the first involvement outside of school that brought you to local politics?
Okay, well, when I finished graduate school, and this would have been in the mid-70s, I kind of had this vision of working on social change and economic issues and power to the people kinds of stuff. After all, I was at U of M in the late 60s and early 70s, and there were a bunch of great society programs, including model cities, and that's where I had envisioned myself going. Unfortunately, when I got out of graduate school, all of those programs were disbanded, and at the same time, there was a huge amount of money released under the Clean Water Act to undertake regional water quality management plans. And I had interned at SEMCOG, the regional planning agency, and they wanted me to come back when I graduated. So sometimes it's the money that determines your career path. So I was hired in the environmental department, and we began to work on plans for the seven county areas, the different watersheds, the Rouge, the Clinton, and the Huron. And so that's really the direction my career took, water quality planning, and I've been in that area ever since.
That's fascinating. And you answered a question that I've always had, because when we look at our local history books, especially in the reference collection, the whole Model Cities program, all of that money, all of that, all those issues, they did suddenly dry up. And I was curious about when, why, and how. And I know a little bit about the history, but that makes sense.
Yeah. And it was under President Nixon that those programs were ended. And actually, the planning money under the Clean Water Act was impounded. So the Clean Water Act passed in 72. The money wasn't released till about 75. Somebody who's listening to this is going to know precisely. around 75, as a result of a lawsuit, the planning money was released, and so, you know, it coincided with my graduating, and the rest is history. When I got out of school, I worked in the regional planning
at SEMCOG
for 13 years. Then the current drain commissioner, his name was Jim Murray, decided he was offered a position at Wayne County to take over the Department of Environment under Ed McNamara, and he called me up, just normal working day, and said, "Janice, I'm taking this new job. Would you run for drain commissioner? You'd be fabulous, and you'll win." And you know, after 13 years of regional planning, which is really all education and, you know, putting suggested policies out and hoping for the best, we had no statutory authority. I thought it would be terrific to be in a position where I could do something on the ground that would make a difference. So I ran in 88 and won, and stayed in that position until 2012 when I retired. So six times. I was elected six times.
Wow.
Yeah, 24 years. I didn't know that going in, but it was a great job, and it was a different job every day, just because of the whole variety of responsibilities. And Ann Arbor and Washtenaw County are so supportive of environmental programs that I could do a lot of innovative stuff. My colleagues around the state used to ask me, so how did you do that? How did you do that water quality improvement or that stream restoration, or, you know, the kinds of things that they could never get funding and public support for? And, you know, you live in the right place, and that helps a lot.
So can you talk more about that? You said every day is different. Tell us about some of those things that the drain commissioner does.
Okay, and now, as a result of legislative changes that we we got them through the state legislature, it's now Water Resource Commissioner in Washtenaw County.
I noticed that. I was going to ask you about that. Yeah. What's the difference? There isn't. It's just a name.
Originally, this is going to be way more than you've ever wanted to know. Michigan was swampland. It was kind of mosquito infested, and it was passed over for development in the first wave of settlement moving west. And in order for it to be viable for farming and for urban development, there really needed to be a network of drainage systems. So that's what the job was all about once upon a time. It was, you know, digging ditches and putting in infrastructure to move water away and to create land that was suitable for development kinds of purposes or agricultural purposes. And over many, many, many years to today, we've drained something like two-thirds of Michigan's wetlands. We are not in the mode of draining lands. We're in the mode of managing water. Mm-hmm. So in most parts of the state, the job has really become more about stormwater management. And then with a lot of new federal mandates and also just public awareness, it's also become about water quality. Yes. So, and I was, you know, Washtenaw County has always been a leader in looking at this position as an environmental position. Actually, when I was elected and my three predecessors, we were the only Democrats among the five countywide elected officials, sheriff, prosecuting attorney, clerk, treasurer, it was because this was looked at as an environmental position. And, you know, that Democrats, well, you know, they're the environmentalists, right?
Right.
So, like I said, Washtenaw County was kind of in the forefront, and it was, I'd say, at least two drain commissioners before me who began to look at the quality of stormwater and how water was managed rather than just moving it away and flooding people downstream. Tom Blessing, who was drain commissioner from 76 to 80, was the one who put into place requirements for on-site management of stormwater. And Briarwood is a great example of a really early project. And, you know, there are those ponds all around Briarwood. Well, that's because they paved acres of land So all of that runs off, and those ponds help manage it so it doesn't just flow down in, you know, Mallet's Creek and rip out the creek and flood downstream properties. That was really incredibly innovative stuff at the time, to just think about managing the water. So, yeah. So I came from a good line of folks who saw more to this job than drainage.
Yeah, I'm curious what else, as Emily said, what else? I want to keep going on this.
This is
really fascinating. Yes. Tell me what else you've done. What other projects?
Well, let's see. The job, when I said every day is different, we do everything from big construction projects. So that means hiring engineers and construction contractors. It also means financing those projects, selling bonds or notes. So we came involved, you know, become involved in the financial arena. There's the piece about telling either local governments or property owners that we're going to do a project and you're going to pay for it.
Yeah.
And so
that's fun, huh?
There's a lot of meeting with the public and with local governmental boards and commissions to explain what we're going to do, what the benefits are going to be, and what your share is going to be. And the job is, you know, our authorities as drain or water resource commissioners are limited. Our projects have to be petitioned for by property owners or by local governments. So we can't, you know, just conceive of these wonderful, you know, pie-in-the-sky projects and then tell you how much it's going to cost. We have to be petitioned, but then from there, shaping the kind of the extent of a project and the design, that's where we have to become involved with property owners and with local governments. So that's kind of the construction side, because water quality is now a federal mandate, stormwater quality. We also undertook a lot of planning for the different creek sheds around Ann Arbor, identifying projects that were necessary to improve water quality, habitat, and flood control, and then working with local governments on implementing them. We had a mandate for public education, so we kind of became a little environmental consulting business and partnered with the Watershed Council, with City of Ann Arbor, and with other local governments on undertaking a lot of these programs that are targeted at homeowners, businesses, institutional landowners. What can you be doing that's going to improve the quality of what runs off your land in a rainstorm and is going to protect local creeks? So, and I'm only touching on, you know, a small segment. There is also, the downside of people getting flooded. And we were on call 24 hours to get out there, find out what was going on, what we could do to alleviate problems. And with climate change, and it is actually remarkable. You know, I was there for about a quarter of a century, and the difference in rainfall pattern that I saw, you know, from more continuous, even if there was a lot of water, it fell over a longer period of time. And today we see these storms where you can get inches in hours, and none of our systems are designed to handle that. So my successor in office, Evan Pratt, faces, you know, a whole range of problems that were not problems 30 years ago. There's that evolution of the job too. And you look like you have a question.
Oh my gosh, I have so many. I'm interested in a few specific projects, but just to follow up on what you just said, so what are your thoughts about what Ann Arbor can do? What should the Water Resource Commissioner should be doing? What can we do?
Well, Ann Arbor is really a proactive community, and there are projects going on right now you know, I'm not in charge of them anymore, but putting more storage in Mallet's Creek, looking for areas where water can be held and managed. There's no way to upsize pipes to deal with this kind of stormwater. If you look at a watershed like Allen Creek, the old west side, we're not going to dig up all the streets and put in something new. And it's not practical, and frankly, you could not achieve the kind of capacity you'd need. What we do need to do is look at better ways to make sure more of the water gets into the ground, and better ways to make sure that properties are not in that floodplain and floodway. Now, you know, that's someplace like Allen is a tough one because it's all developed, and we're not going to, you know, tear down houses. But you'll notice some of the newest development, let's say, I'm blanking on streets here. I take them, but some of the newer development in low-lying areas, it's kind of on stilts, and there's parking underneath.
Oh, yeah, Ashley or First down there.
That's exactly where I'm talking about. That's because we know it's going to flood, and let's design it so that the water can flow through underneath the buildings and not cause damage to property and not get impeded, so it's going to back up and cause flooding upstream.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah,
so.
Are there things that property owners and Ann Arbor citizens can do to help this work?
Yeah, and you've probably seen a lot of it. We started a program of working with property owners on rain gardens.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we think of this, these are small scale things, but you get enough of them in place and it really makes a difference. So getting that water managed on your property and back in the ground is one of the most important things that homeowners can do, thinking about how much surface you really have to pave. I mean, do you need that double wide driveway and then that, you know, patio that's twice as big as you'll ever use? Just thinking about more sensitive ways to develop. And then, you know, from the quality standpoint, what kind of chemicals do you put on your lawn? How do you manage snow in the winter? Do you pick up after your pet? I mean, there's a lot of really small scale actions that can make a difference.
So it's an all-over sustainability issue.
Yeah.
I have a question about Allen Creek, and this also is about, you know, your partnering. Would you, for example, I live close to West Park, and I was curious about, over the years, it's been, 20 years now that, you know, they had put in some plants, they had dug it up, they'd reorganized a couple of times, and I remember reading a bit about it then. Would you have been involved with the city on that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, how did that come about, and what happened there?
We were able to get some low-interest loans and grants from the state through the Federal Clean Water Act. And again, you know, Ann Arbor was such a terrific community to partner with because we thought, well, we've got a vision here. We have open space in West Park. Why don't we look at ways to slow the flow, manage and divert some of the water? It's wet anyhow, so let's make it intentionally wet and create some wetlands and just kind of, and undertake this redesign. So both the parks staff and the engineering staff were folks who just looked at their jobs way beyond, you know, what you might think of ball fields and, you know, bike paths are great, but and engineering staff, it wasn't just about engineering, it was about what can we do for the environment too. So the city petitioned for that improvement in West Park. We were able to finance it. We partnered with the city on design, and I hope you like it.
I do. Yeah, no, it's just changed so much. I lived over there roughly 25, 30 years, so I've seen a lot of the changes. And it looks like you've figured it out.
Well, I hope it helps. And kind of before we undertook any of those projects, we prepared watershed management plans. So we looked at Swift Run and at Mallet's Creek and at Allen Creek and at Traver Creek, and we had the Watershed Council as a partner. So the Adopt a Stream program had been collecting data on water quality for years with citizen adopters. And so we had that to feed into our planning and see where we were beginning to get some problems and where did we have opportunities. So we had kind of a master plan to guide the work as we identified key projects and tried to implement them. So Mallets Creek, and now I'll talk about favorite projects. Yes. Mallets Creek was delivering more phosphorus, kind of eroded soil and pollutants into the river than other creek sheds. Number one, it's bigger, but number two, there were serious water quality issues, and the creek was eroded, and we could see a variety of problems. So just to talk about a couple things that we did, there was a storage pond near Packard and Platt, Mary Beth Doyle Park, yep. If you know that one. And the pond had been put in a long time ago. We were able to do some redesign to make it manage stormwater better and hold back pollutants more. And in the course of doing that, we enhanced the whole area, put in paths and natural landscapes. And Mary Beth Doyle was a fabulous woman who worked for the Watershed Council and died very young in an accident. John Heftew was mayor at the time. Mike Garfield from the Ecology Center suggested honoring Mary Beth. John and I thought that was wonderful. And so we were able to kind of christen this new natural area, stormwater, parkland in her memory. And that's what I meant by great partnerships between the Watershed Council, the Ecology Center, and the leadership that I saw in Ann Arbor. I could do just way cool stuff. Yeah. And when I say the job was fun and that's why I stayed in it, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Not the dealing with flooded property owners. But and the last big project that I did before I retired was also on Mallets Creek, and this one was taking care of severe eroding and again delivering pollutants downstream into the river. And we restored the creek that runs through County Farm Park.
Yeah.
And then into Mallets Creek down along, let's see, what street is that? Oh, gosh. Next to... it would be a dirt road between Huron Parkway and Pisano's.
It's right. Yep, yeah. Okay. I know the one you're talking about.
Well,
yep.
God, I know
it. Just to get there.
I know the name. It'll come to me. Anyhow, the creek kind of runs along there. It runs through Huron Chase Condominiums. We restored that entire creek, put in a lot of native landscapes, and stabilized the banks and took care of a lot of problems. One of the really fun things about those projects is initially property owners are really disturbed and a little bit in opposition, but as they come to learn what's going on, they become huge supporters.
And get involved, yeah.
It's tremendously rewarding to see the kind of public education that goes on when people realize, we're part of kind of a big creek shed here. It's not just about the creek that goes by my house. It's about upstream and downstream, too. And, and then they begin to have their own ideas, and they're great ideas, and so we can really work together.
How did you go about communicating all that and that process with property owners? What did that look like?
Well, we usually engage a team that has multiple areas of expertise. So I had people with landscape expertise and fisheries and, of course, engineering. And on that one, the easy way is to just say we knew there was going to be concern. We had a public meeting, and we spent a lot of time explaining exactly why we were doing what we were going to do, you know, what it was going to be like and what the outcomes were going to be. We use a lot of visuals. And, you know, Ann Arbor is a pretty educated community. People get it. And there's always going to be somebody who's just going to hate everything. But, you know, I'm just thinking of the one kind of pivotal meeting with the residents of Huron Chase Condominiums. They walked in very concerned because they have natural areas behind their homes and, you know, what's going to happen? We're going to take down trees. And indeed, we did have to do some of that. They came in very, very negative. They came out with a great understanding and a willingness to, I mean, I'm not going to say everybody thought, this is great. Yeah, Janice, you're wonderful. And I'm so excited. But a willingness to work on the process and kind of cautious optimism, I would say. And that was because, again, we had experts who could answer every question and we used a lot of visuals. So that's just, public hearings do not always work that well, let me say. But bringing people in and trying to accommodate their concerns and needs is the way we did this.
So you can't really talk about Ann Arbor water without bringing up the dioxane spill. And I'm curious how you worked with that and what you've seen happen over the years and what your thoughts are about where we are going and what we need to do going forward.
Well, I'll preface it by saying I'm not the expert, and I'm not as close to it as I was. So, yeah. You know, it's been quite a few years now, 11 years since I was in office. But you can't live in Ann Arbor without knowing about Gellman. So back around 1990, I would say, maybe 91, the contamination was identified by, I think it was a public health student, somebody going to the university, did some sampling, found levels of 1,4-dioxane that were of concern. And though it was kind of below the radar, but people weren't really paying a whole lot of attention, by the early 90s, Chuck Gellman was pumping, and they proposed discharging their contaminated groundwater, and at this point, everybody knew it was contaminated groundwater, into Allen Creek and down from there into the Huron River after some level of treatment. So that's why I became directly involved. It was like, who are you and what do you think you're doing? And he was not pleased to find out that he would need a permit to discharge into the creek. So that was, you know, just, I'd say, years of hue and cry and you know, arm twisting and hand wringing. We did not allow that discharge to take place. He actually ran somebody for drain commissioner against me in 92. And, you know, it was not the kind of situation. I had dealt with property owners who weren't thrilled about what I was doing, but I really didn't expect that level of public attack. And I know maybe you talked to Liz about this.
A little, maybe, but not much.
It was very, Chuck Gellman was an unusual man, and it was very personal. And it was interesting that he seemed to single out women. Lana Pollack, myself, Liz Brader, Tracy Easthope at the Ecology Center. I won't speculate about anything further, but, you know, it was very personal and very nasty. But meanwhile, back to the contamination, because Gellman chose to go the court route and to fight and to fight and to fight, I would say that at one point when it was more confined to the area immediately around his facility, there was a chance that it could have been cleaned up. But with the delay, and again, the arguing and the going to court and, you know, refusing to accept state environmental agencies' direction, it's now to a point where I don't think that it'll be cleaned up in our lifetimes. I'm hoping that it can be contained effectively and that it doesn't affect drinking water supplies. But it's just such a object lesson in, you know, an opportunity lost, and why the public just doesn't have faith in business. I mean, there's a lot. You know, we're working on some polluter accountability legislation right now. I mean, I'm more from an advocacy standpoint, but Jeff Irwin and Jason Morgan are spearheading work on putting some more legislation in place that would hold polluters accountable. And you know, there's a lot of good businesses that try to do the right thing, but unfortunately, it's the cases like Gelman that you have to have laws in place that deal with the lowest common denominator, and good businesses don't need it and don't like to see it happen, but so.
So that wasn't a particularly fun recurring topic.
No, it wasn't fun, and now it's just kind of a hard, it's just kind of heart-rending to see that we're going to have to live with this. And, you know, and the injustice of people losing the use of their drinking wells and having to hook up to city water at great expense for something that they never did and had, you know, no role in.
So you mentioned that you're still involved. Tell us about this last 11 years since you officially retired, but sounds like you're still involved with things.
When I retired, had a very good relationship with our board of commissioners. They were real team. They were part of a team that wanted to see good environmental stuff happen in the county. Anyhow, I said, if there's one thing I'll ask for, and that is, could I be a citizen member on County Parks Commission? And so I have been a citizen member on County Parks Commission. That we are doing things like the border-to-border trails.
Yeah,
that
it's just a beautiful project.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, it really is.
So, and we're in the process of just beginning an Eastern Rec Center in Superior Township. It is right between Superior and Ypsilanti Townships to really provide the same kinds of services for the population on the extreme east part of the county. What we do really makes a difference in people's lives, and it's a lot of fun. And I've also stayed on the Huron River Watershed Council Board and Executive Committee. And again, I can't think of an organization that I love more than the Watershed Council. I'm on the board of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. And what we do there is really try and make sure that the right people get elected to office, people who are conservation champions, and then educate them on the issues and hold them accountable once they're elected. Because we all know it's easy to say, I care about clean water and I care about energy efficiency. And when you get in there, what are you really doing vote-wise? And then we let their constituents know what's going on. And we do a lot of public education. So it's just a wonderful organization. Now, separate from environment, I've been on the board of another organization I love, and that's Dawn Farm. And Dawn Farm provides drug and alcohol abuse, drug and alcohol addiction treatment, everything from outpatient to long-term residential care, and then beyond that to transitional housing so that people become part of a recovering community and have a much better chance of staying sober. So I'm passionate about, this is our 50th anniversary at Dawn Farm,
yep.
And we've got a project underway to try and purchase some transitional housing, a small apartment complex, 12 units in Ypsilanti City, so that we know we'll have that resource for the community that really needs more resources. And then I'm involved with kind of an informal, I don't know what to call them, organization called Wolfpack. And this is just kind of a coalition of regular folks who care a lot about environmental issues and want to get involved and make a difference. And one of the key projects that Wolfpack is working on now is Line 5 up in the Great, mm-hmm. you know, up in the Straits of Mackinac, trying to get that operation out of our Great Lakes. So the organization also brought together all of the different entities in the area who are working on climate change projects. So that would include the county, the city, U of M, EMU, the community college, and I'm only naming a fraction of them. Well, they're all doing great work on developing plans, hopefully to reduce our carbon footprint and to deal with climate change. And the Wolfpack committee that's dealing with climate change brought all those folks together to see where there are some economies of scale and where information can be transferred. And we don't know what the future of that's going to be, but I don't think it would have happened if we didn't decide to try and bring those folks together. So one of the priorities, when you mentioned that I talked about polluter accountability, one of the priorities of the clean water team is getting that kind of legislation back in place. So we will actually, I've got a meeting at 2:00 today, and we'll be talking about creating some citizen advocacy to help get legislation through. So that's what I'm doing.
That's a lot.
Oh, it's great.
And it's fantastic. It's all interconnected. It's all where your passion is. That's really something. So, I mean, I just want to ask, one more question about your, you said you studied urban planning, and mm-hmm. what do you feel that Ann Arbor is doing right in terms of, you know, we were talking earlier about the streets and the bike lanes and the building and all of this going on. Some of it's right. A lot of people complain. What are your thoughts about where we're going and what we should do to consider a lot of these issues that are so near to your heart?
Again, Ann Arbor has really taken a lead in thinking about water when they make development decisions.
Yeah.
And, in 1989, my first year in office, stormwater was, there were some engineering standards, but it was not a big issue when, and this is true for the townships around Ann Arbor and the other cities in the county, water was kind of a secondary consideration. Today, we know where the flood-prone areas are. We know where creeks are being impacted. I think the city puts that up front and center in development decisions. But the larger question of what do I think is going on that's right, everything's controversial, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of urban density. And, I went to school here, and I was here in the 60s, and I loved the way it used to be and all the little shops that are no more. And I always mention Drake's, the old coffee and tea locale. I mean, these were all fond memories. But change happens, and cities either grow and change or they die. And this is a hugely popular place to be. downtown looks very different than it used to.
Mm-hmm.
When I was going to school, University Towers at the corner of Southview and Forest, is that it?
Yeah.
That was built. It was like, we're not doing any more of that. We're not creating any more of those high rises. And, you know, that was the position for a long, long, long time. But we have no more place to go out downtown, and people want to be downtown.
Right.
So, yeah, it's going to change the character of the area. I don't like everything, but I'm a real fan of trying to put development here. One of the reasons that we worked, and this is a coalition of groups, on the Ann Arbor Greenbelt and the county's Natural Areas Program was because we recognized that if we didn't do something, we were going to not that there's anything wrong with Wayne and Oakland County, but that's what we were going to be if we didn't find a way to actively work to preserve open space and farmland. And we did that. So at that point, you gotta recognize that if there's that much demand to live here, it's gonna mean higher density. I think the city is looking at opportunities to develop within some of the areas where we have huge expanses of parking lots. Could we be doing something else with that parking lot and create more density without sacrificing green fields? So I think and the one piece that city council, I'm glad I'm not on city council, the one piece that's very hard to deal with is affordability.
Yeah.
When you're in an area where people want to live here, and developers, you know, need to make a profit on what they do, it's pretty hard to satisfy that concern. And I think we're all troubled by that. Because, again, one of the things that's really cool about Ann Arbor is the diversity of the population, and that diversity really should include economic diversity, too.
Yeah.
It's great that we, you know, have people from all over the world, but if they're all educated and successful, we really aren't achieving much in the way of diversity.
You have a lot to be proud of.
And well, thank you.
Thank you so much for your service. Is there one thing that stands out for you that if you were asked, what are you most proud of?
Well, without going to a specific project, I guess I'm most proud of the fact that in the period that I was in office, people who, like I was saying before, never really thought much about water quality, and if I do a development here, it's going to affect a stream all the way over there. But today, the thinking has changed so much that, you know, putting in native plantings, people don't say, how come there are weeds on your lawn? You know, they understand what's there and why it's there. I mean, just that whole change in public perception and in public values, I think I contributed something to that. So I'm really, really proud of that. The most fun project, though, is the Mallets Creek restoration work we did. And because I'm in County Farm Park all the time, just seeing the results of our work and knowing that people are enjoying it.
AADL Talks 2 is a production of the Ann Arbor District Library.